Hi Krishna, good evening everybody. Thanks for coming out tonight to Radical Chanji Dham. Are any of you here for the first time? Okay, welcome. Nice to have you here. Are you having a good time here? Okay, great. Each evening we read a little bit from the Bhagavad Gita as it is. For those of you who may not know, our founder, Srila Prabhupada, he's recognized in Encyclopedia Britannica. He wrote more books than Shakespeare, over 100 titles like this, about 600, 700 pages each. This is about 799 pages. And what's unique about his work is he translates the original Sanskrit. You can see in his books each of the original Sanskrit shlokas from the Vedic literature, and it's translated word by word into English. You can check it with a Sanskrit Bhikkhosh dictionary. So it's not an interpretation, but as he's titled it here, Bhagavad Gita as it is, it's the original teachings. So the Vedic literature has three basic divisions, just like we have undergraduate, graduate, and postgraduate level to our literature in schools. There you go. So in Sanskrit, we have three terms, Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayochana. So the Bhagavad Gita, it's written on the level of Sambandha, which basically means to understand, or even more than understand, to realize our spiritual identity. In Sanskrit, there's two terms, Jnana and Vijnana. So Jnana means when you understand something, just like, say, for example, a mother may tell their child, the fire will burn your hand. So we hear so many things, you see, but we don't realize actually what we're hearing. It's just like the child may touch the fire and then get burned. So jnana means to theoretically understand something, but vijnana means to actually realize, you see. So sambandha means to realize our spiritual identity more than just theoretically, but to actually realize it, and to actually realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the source of everything, and our relationship or our duty to the Supreme Lord. What's our eternal position? So that's Sambandha. Prabhupada translated Bhagavad Gita, it's on the level of Sambandha. And then we have Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a 30-volume encyclopedia on the spiritual culture of India. It's a little bit different. These teachings are a little bit different than an ordinary or mainstream religion, in the sense that religion implies faith. Faith can change. We could be Hindus, we could be Muslims, we could be Christians, Buddhists, Jews, Lutherans, Catholics, you see. So our faith can change. But if you look in the Vedic literature, even though it comes from India, technically it's not Hinduism, in the sense that the word Hindu was actually coined by the Muslims. When the Mughals invaded India, they crossed the Sindhu River, and they called everyone on the northern side of the Sindhu River Hindu. But that's like calling everything we do here in America Americanism. Right? Even Lord Buddha came from India. According to the Jesuits, the Catholics, you know, the PhDs in the Vatican, they say that Jesus Christ lived in India from the age of 18 until 31 in a very famous place called Jagannath Puri. How many of you have been to Jagannath Puri? Have you ever been there? You been? Yeah, they have a big celebration and parade there each year, Jagannath Rath Yatra. You can see it on YouTube. But we also have a slide. You can't really see it. It's hidden by the pillar, but in the back there, there's a famous temple. It's many thousands of years old. And even today, Jagannath Puri remains one of the capitals or the seats of religious study in India. So according to the Jesuits, Jesus Christ lived in Jagannath Puri from the age of 18 until 31. And what's really unique about their statements, according to the Aquarian Gospel, Jesus Christ was a strict vegetarian. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't even eat cooked food. According to the Jesuits, that's not my statement, according to the Vatican, Jesus Christ practiced yoga, and he was so strict that he would only eat sattvic food. He wouldn't even eat cooked food. He would only eat raw food, and he would eat bread that was like a roti that was baked in the sunlight. You see? But another thing that's really interesting, if you go to the Vatican and you look in the gallery that they have there, every painting of Jesus Christ from the time he was living up to about 150 years after his death, 150 AD, every single painting, Jesus Christ has Vishnu Tilak. Every single painting. And not just like the South Indian Tilak or the Shivai Tilak, but the specific Tilak from Jagannath Puri, this, you see, style. You might be able to see my Tilak, or you can see in Srila Prabhupada's deity. Here it's like a U shape with the clay of the Ganges and a small Tulsi leaf on the nose. And this symbol, according to the Archana Padati, it's a scripture that was written by the sage Narada Muni. And it's recorded in ancient Vedic literature, one of the sections of the original Vedas. It's called the Pancha Triki Vidhi, where the entire system of deity worship, like we follow here, comes from that system. So Narada Muni, he wrote a scriptures, and it specifically based on witnessing how Krishna lives. Narada Muni used to go from palace to palace when Krishna was living in Dwarka, and he would witness Krishna's pastimes. So he wrote down a literature called this Archana Padati, or the Pancha Triki Vidhi, which shows you exactly how Krishna lives. The things he likes to eat. When does he sleep? When does he wake up? What does he do each day? So this system of deity worship that we follow here, we do that. And we worship what's called the Astakalya Lila. It's the eightfold different pastimes of Krishna throughout the day. So anyway, Jesus, if you look at the paintings, you'll see this Vishnu Tilak. And this Tilak, it actually means that the body is the temple of God and it should be used in God's service. Right? And all the Christians, if you ask them that, they'll say that. That's a quote from the Bible, that the body's a temple of God. It should be used in God's service, meaning that God is within the heart of all living beings. So we're talking about the three different levels of the Vedic literature, undergraduate, graduate, postgraduate. So Bhagavad Gita is an undergraduate level. It's a summary study of the entire Vedic literature. It breaks down the yoga system. And it's a little bit different from a mainstream religion in that religion implies faith. And even though the literature comes from India, technically it's not Hinduism. If you look throughout the Vedas, you will not find the word Hindu. The word that defines these teachings in Sanskrit is called Sanatan Dharma. Now, if you watch Indian television, they kind of loosely throw around the word Dharma to mean religion or duty, right? But if you look in the Sanskrit dictionary, the meaning of dharma is the intrinsic quality of something. Just like, what is the intrinsic quality of sugar? Sweetness, right? If something tastes salty, you'd say, that's not sugar. You guys put salt in the sugar bowl, right? So the dharma of sugar is sweetness. So the dharma or the intrinsic quality of fire? Is it cold? You sure? Fire's not cold? Hey, thank you for coming, everyone. You know you're on television when you're in here? You see the camera up there? My mom likes to watch. Hi, Mom. But you can always visit us online at krishna.com. We have live television in our temples throughout the world. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Have a good night. Hey, so the intrinsic quality of fire is heat and light, right? Intrinsic quality of water? What's the dharma of water? It's liquid, right? It's liquidity. Nothing else is liquid, right? These things are solid. Water is liquid. So according to the Vedic literature, the intrinsic quality of each and every one of us, it doesn't matter what our faith is, it doesn't matter what our education may be, it doesn't matter what our social position is or our employment is or how much money we have in the bank. Are the intrinsic quality of each and every living being is the quality of service. We're all engaged in service, right? We're serving our families, we're serving our employers, we're serving our nation. You see? Just like when you guys help somebody else, how do you feel? Feel really good, right? Because that's our intrinsic quality. See, that doesn't change like faith. The Bhagavad Gita is not against Christianity. It's not against anybody. It's not even against a little tiny little ant. So this quality of service, when we direct it to the Supreme, we are situated in our constitutional position. Just like the constitutional position of my hand is to serve my stomach, right? Right? To serve the whole body. Right? If your hand tries to eat separately from your body, will the hand feel very good? If you take this room and you fill it up, the temple room here, with all these really delicious sweets and preparations, right? But if the hand tries to eat independently of the whole body, of the stomach, no matter how much food you provide your hand will feel dissatisfied. So in the same way, if we try to become satisfied separately from our constitutional position of serving the Supreme Lord, no matter what we get, we're always dissatisfied. Right? Kids know that, right? You get so many things for your birthday, and it's like, it's not what I thought it was. Throw it in the toy box. And we're all going through that. We go from one thing to the next, but we're always feeling dissatisfied. Someone might ask you, oh my God, what's the purpose of this culture, this religion, right? Like in your school, maybe the kids, you know, someone might say, oh my God, you're going to become a Hindu like your grandmother. Are you crazy? Going to a temple and bowing down in front of a statue? Why would you devote yourself to Krishna? Better you devote yourself to IBM, Sony, Xerox, Vipro. Krishna, are you mad? But in the Gita, Krishna explains. He says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata savam parvartite. He says, everything emanates from me. All material and spiritual creations emanate from me alone. Just like the air we breathe, right? It's so nice to breathe, especially when you have allergies. Right? Does IBM create the air we're breathing? What about the sunshine? Without the sun, we'd be frozen, we'd be blind, we'd be dead. Does Xerox create the sunshine? Food we eat, right? It's coming from the earth, from the rain, from the sun. It's not coming from a Dell computer. The wood we use for our furniture, the metal we use for our electronics, our vehicles, the simple ability to see, to speak, to think, all of this is coming to us by the arrangement of a higher transcendental power far beyond human capability to reproduce. Right? We can't make a company to recreate the sunshine. So scientifically, empirically, with our senses, we have to admit that we are in contact with a higher power at every moment. And that power is maintaining us and it's controlling us. You could say, well, I don't see God. You don't see the law of gravity. But if you go up on top of this building, you say, well, I don't see it. I don't believe it. You jump. The law of gravity will still work. Boom. Right? You could say there's no controller. You see, there's nothing. So what is the purpose of life? Right? Once two intellectuals, they asked Prabhupada, what is the purpose of life? And Prabhupada said, first explain to me that life has no purpose. Right? Because that's what the question implies. Right? Life has no purpose. You see, just whatever feels good, do it. You see? But Prabhupada, he said that the purpose of life, according to Bhagavad Gita, is happiness. Ananda. We all want to be happy, right? Doesn't matter if you're an Indian, you're American, if you're a kid, if you're young, you're old, you're Chinese, if you're a doctor or an engineer. Everybody wants to be happy. So what Krishna explains in the Gita to Arjuna asks this question, how do you achieve complete satisfaction? So Krishna, first of all, explains, he says, Kama esha krodha esha rajaguna samadbhava. He says that there are two basic approaches to happiness. We can try to become happy with material things, but the problem is that everything material is temporary. Right? So if you try to become happy with something that's temporary, your happiness is also temporary. So when your happiness runs out, how do you feel? Sad? I work a lot with kids, they'll say, unhappy. Yeah, we feel unhappy, we feel sad, we feel frustrated, we get angry, we become violent, we begin to criticize one another. Okay, so is that real happiness? It's not. You guys don't wake up and plan to become frustrated and angry in the morning. Nobody makes a plan like that to become frustrated. So Krishna explains that's not real happiness. He says that when you try to become satisfied with material things, your pursuit is actually an illusion. In Sanskrit, the word is maya. Maya. Just like a mirage in the desert, right? It looks like water, but when you go there, there's no water. Animals, sometimes they see a mirage, they go and chase it. There's no water, they see another mirage, until finally they just die in the desert. So Krishna explains that real happiness doesn't come from anything outside of us, it comes from within us. If you guys have to go, feel free, don't worry. Real happiness comes from within us. Here, look, I'll give you one more thing before you go. It's called, and Krishna explains this philosophy. He says, achinta bed abheda tattva, that there is an inconceivable, simultaneous oneness and difference between us and the Supreme. Okay, that sounds very complicated, but Krishna gives a simple example. Just like a drop of ocean water, it has all the qualities of the ocean. It's liquid and it's salty. But the drop is very small. It's infinitesimal, where the ocean is infinite. So in the same way, because we are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, we have all the qualities of the Supreme Lord. We're conscious, we're loving, we have intelligence, but we are very small, very, very small, where the Supreme is infinite. So qualitatively, we are one with the Supreme, but quantitatively, we are different. You see that? So simultaneous oneness in quality, difference in quantity. Hey, so if you come for the first time, we always like to give you a gift. Would you like a Bhagavad Gita? Yeah, you please take one of those for your household. Anybody else like one to take home? First time? Oh yeah, sure. You're welcome to take. Okay, sure. A friend of mine sponsors these books every month. Thanks so much for coming in. Hey, so this is the point. Because we're spiritual by quality, if we keep ourselves in a spiritual environment, we become peaceful and happy. So Arjuna asks, how do you do that? So Krishna says, through sound vibration. Sound is the most powerful means that will affect our consciousness. Just like if somebody tells you that they love you, right? It affects us deeply. So in Sanskrit, there are spiritual sound vibrations. They're called mantras. Man means the mind, and tra means to free the mind from all anxiety. So we're famous for this mantra, the Hare Krishna mantra, right? It's made up of three names, Hare, Krishna, and Rama. So in the Vedic tradition, there are three primary manifestations of the Supreme Lord. There's a verse that goes, Brahmeti Paramameti Bhagavaniti Shabdate. That means that first of all, everything is God's energy, right? Like we were talking about the sun and the air, right? But there's also, God is present within everyone's heart and within every atom. God loves us so much that God is controlling everything and trying to help and guide us. And that's called Paramatma realization. You see? Even the scientists admit that there is a higher power. But they say that it's material energy. But our point is that life comes from life. Western science is proposing that life comes from matter. Okay, now let me ask you guys, have you ever seen a dead stone create life? It's kind of dumb, right? Life comes from life. Just like, for example, say if you, when you go out in the sunlight in the summertime here in Dallas, right? It's very hot. Now, does anyone ever look up at the sun and think, oh, the sunlight is so hot, so the origin of the sunlight must be cold. Does anyone think of the sun as cold? Right? We think the sun is super hot. It's heating the whole universe. Right? According to Western, you know, electronic telescopes, they're saying that just the flames coming off the sun are 10 million miles long. So the sun's rays are hot. So we naturally conclude that the origin of the sun's rays is super hot. So we are all people. And we're not just people in general. We're very specific people with likes, dislikes, interests, desires. Now, are we to conclude that the origin of life is not a person? The sun's rays are warm. The sun is super hot. We are people. The origin of life must be a person, but a super person. They say that everything comes from a sudden chance explosion. Right? The Big Bang theory. Now, have you guys ever seen something orderly come from an explosion? Like this girl right here. Do you have a cell phone? How old are you? 12? Don't worry, you're going to get one pretty soon. Okay, so here's my cell phone. It's got, oh, that's my wife's picture on there now. Okay, now, this is pretty complicated, right? Somebody like me, I couldn't build one of these. But, you know, it's filled with microchips and semiconductors and all that stuff, right? Now, without even talking about where the components come from, if let's just say, for example, we took all those parts and we blew it up with some kind of explosive, right? Some firecracker or whatever. Okay, so how many times would you have to blow up those parts for them to come down and be this phone? Let's just say, for example, you blew the parts up 1,000,000 times. You think once it'd be the phone? 10 million? 100 million? It's never going to happen. That's insane. And our educational institutions are saying that this entire creation, which is millions and billions of times more complex than this phone, came from a sudden chance explosion. So what we're saying is there's a supreme intelligent person, in fact, a couple, Radha and Krishna, and they're the origin of life. That's what Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita. And we can link to him through this beautiful mantra. So now is the Artik time. Traditionally, we chant at this time. Would you guys like to sing along a little bit? Okay. I have a simple melody for you from Krishna's village, Vrindavan. Ha ha de Krishna, ha ha de Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, ha Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, everyone, please sing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ramo Ramo Hare Hare. Okay, here's an Indian raga for you. Okay, I'll sing. You guys like Indian music? This is an evening raga. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. You like that? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, there's a higher part to this raga. It goes like this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You want to try singing that one? Got to take a big breath to do that one. Okay, here it goes. Hare Krishna, Hare, breathe in. Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare, Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare. Hey Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, so thank you everybody for coming tonight. It's really nice to have you here. Yeah, and please visit us online at krishna.com. And we also have a nice television website, which is our international TV from our headquarters. It's called mayapur.tv. Have you seen that? M-A-Y-A-P-U-R, mayapur.tv. And you can see live all over India, all over the world. In the temples, you can see darshan, you can hear the lectures and the music. It's very, very nice. And stay connected to Krishna through chanting, you know. Even if you spend a few minutes every day, you'll see, it'll make a big difference in your life. You'll feel real happiness. Not that temporary happiness that's making us all so miserable. Okay, everyone, thank you so much. Have a good night, and hopefully I'll see you soon. Hare Krishna.